Director Dotson?
Here.
Director Co-Chair Reddick?
Present.
Co-Chair Weisner? Director Sweeney?
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. We have a rather full agenda today. Moving on, I see the first matter that we have up is public comment. I don't have any sheets for public comments, unless I'm missing some. Okay, we'll move on. I'll take a motion for approval of the minutes of the Customer Service and Planning Committee meeting from January 22nd.
Second.
Are there any amendments, deletions, or changes? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Those are approved as submitted. The next thing, based on the agenda items, I would, unless there's an objection, I would like to amend the agenda to take the tollway speed limit issue before any of the other presentations by the executive director portion of the agenda. Seeing none, then we will amend it accordingly. And that being said, I'll turn it over to Christy.
Great. Well, before we get into the presentations, I just wanted to let everyone know that earlier this week, on Tuesday, to be precise, our chief engineer, Paul Kovacs, was named Person of the Year by the Illinois Asphalt and Pavement Association. We told him he needed to start carrying the award around with him when he came to these meetings, but he apparently has demurred.
I was honored on behalf of the tollway and all of the engineering staff and the materials folks who made it possible.
Yeah, very well said.
Perhaps you can take a break and run and get that process.
Right.
That's very shocking. It has my likeness on the front.
Wow.
I assume it's being displayed downstairs on the first floor.
It's in the trunk of my car. But like I said, I was proud, because it reflects well on the tollway and our work.
Well, you were recognized for your contributions as well, so that's very nice of you to say that about the tollway, but, specifically your leadership, I think, was recognized. So I wanted to just make everybody aware, if only to see Paul become very uncomfortable in a public meeting. So now we'd like to start with the presentations, and thank you for moving the order around. We thought we'd start with the tollway speed limit presentation. As you know, the General Assembly has passed, several iterations of laws allowing for a speed limit increase on, interstates in the state, basically, to up to 70 miles per hour, as well as, I think, revisions in truck speeds, both for passenger cars and truck speeds, correct, maximums. So the tollway's traffic engineer, which is a nationally recognized expert on matters having to do with traffic speed and traffic management, has been conducting, at our request, engineering and traffic studies so that we can ensure that any increases that we implement in our system are safe and responsible. They've used IDOT's policy on establishing and posting speed limits on the state highway system, and ultimately, I think we've come up with a recommendation that I am told our engineering department and certainly our traffic engineer are comfortable with. So I'd like to introduce John Benda without further ado and without stealing his entire presentation. And then I think at some point he'll be turning it over to CDM Smith to discuss more specifically the work that they've done. But John?
Thank you, Christy. Good morning, directors.
Good morning. Chair.
Just in for now. Okay. It'd be a real brief presentation.
Well, that's a fascinating slide.
Thank you. Okay, on today's agenda, briefly, I want to provide you some background. We're going to talk about recent developments that allow us to increase the limits, which Christy touched on a little bit, which includes new legislation and IDOT's policy. And then we'll get into our specific recommendations for limit increases. Before I do that, since I'm going to refer to the Traffic Operations Safety Committee in the presentation, I thought it would be beneficial to let you know what the TOSC is, the task is. Back in 2000, this committee was formed to focus regularly on traffic, on operational issues, and on safety system-wide. And it's a unique committee in that it's a cross-discipline committee made up of all the various departments and specific operations at the TOA that involve system performance out on the road. So you've got legal that's there, safety, risk insurance. We're supported by our traffic engineering consultant primarily, and with the GEC, general engineering consultant as well. Engineering is there, maintenance, our traffic folks, as well as communication, and very importantly, state police. This committee has since spawned a safety subcommittee that actually meets on a monthly basis along with this committee, and they look at things like crashes and profiles and speeds and other issues in the system, and we develop strategies on how to better improve system performance and safety out there. Recently, we're going through a series of what are called roadside safety audits, where our geometric engineer and several other people compile information, and the people that are actually out on the road patrolling that section of the road weigh in on improvements to improve things. So the reason I point this out is that this committee actually started recommending that our engineer, our traffic consultant, begin studying speed limits back in 2010. We did a speed adjustment in 2011 to the south extension of 355 from 55 miles an hour when it opened to 65 miles an hour. And at the time, the tollway was completing elements of the congestion relief program. And the committee thought, at the time we were looking at reduced crashes and things, so the committee felt it was important that we started to take a look at speed limits over the rebuilt portions of the system that were dealt with in the CRP. during the same time frame when these studies were initiated, there were law changes in Illinois that raised the maximum speed limit to 70 miles an hour. And there have been subsequent a couple additional laws passed this past year having to do with urban district and some other issues that give the tollway flexibility to consider speed limit increases over its entire system. The tollway did raise the speed limit for cars to 70 miles an hour beginning in January of 2014 on two segments of the system. Again, we had performed studies over these segments, and in accordance with the law, we raised the speed limits. I-90 west of I-39 interchange, or the section that really runs north and south through the Rockford area up to almost the Wisconsin state line, and the western segment of I-88 from west of Route 47 out to the western terminus of that leg of the system. Okay. The tollway also raised the speed limit for trucks and buses to 70 miles an hour at the same time, covering those same limits, with the exception of on the east-west tollway, east in Kane County in the 6th County area, there was a limitation placed on trucks and buses at the time.
I'm sorry, John, when you say there was a limitation placed on, that was ours or some other limitation?
No, that was at the time that we originally went to 70 miles an hour, that was still considered an urban district in Kane County. And so trucks were held to 55 miles an hour, buses were held to, I believe, 60. And so those rates didn't change.
By our definition of an urban district or by?
By the state's definition of an urban district. And we at the time were included within that. Right. One of the elements of legislation that has subsequently occurred is that the tollway is now excluded from the definition of an urban district, which allows us to go up to 70, frankly, over our entire system, if in fact it's supported by an engineering study.
Thank you.
So as Christy pointed out, we had originally begun some studies. In 2014, the landscape changed a little bit in that IDOT came out with a new policy regarding setting speed limits. Excuse me, and for the first time, really addressed the issue of setting speed limits on interstates, both rural and urban. So again, the TOSC committee reviewed that and suggested to CDM Smith that they reevaluate previous studies and that they continue forward using the IDOT methodology. And so since that time, our traffic engineer, C.M. Smith, has completed speed limit studies across the tollway system, except on I-90, where we've got construction going on, and we'll touch on that a little bit later on, perhaps, and where we had already previously increased the speed limit to 7 miles an hour. There was no point in restudying that. And we think it's important that you understand the process that we go through, so we've asked Jeff Ockluth from C.D.M. Smith to come in and walk us through briefly the IDOT methodology that we use, and then we'll talk a little bit about what the impact is over the entire system. Jeff?
As a tollways traffic engineer, when we were first tasked with increasing the speed limits, we knew that we had to abide by the IDOT methodology, but we went out and took a look at what other states were doing to see if there are ways we could enhance and improve upon it so we could really provide the best solution here. So we did a fairly exhaustive research into what other states have done with speed limits, and really very few states publish what they've done with their policies and speed limits. And what we did see is that the new IDOT methodology is actually pretty superior to everyone else in terms of being very empirical, being very specific about how they use their data. Essentially every single state DOT that we did find information on follows the three-step process here. You start with the prevailing speed, you make some adjustments to it based on safety and other issues, and then the engineering analysis is really a reasonableness check. Go back and make sure that what you've done makes sense, that there's not other conditions out there that just speed and adjustment factors don't account for. Every single state uses the 85th percentile. 85th percentile speed is when you go out and collect data in ideal conditions, good weather, midday, off-peak, with a LiDAR gun, 100 per lane, so you're getting a lot of data out there. 85% of the vehicles that you got speeds on are traveling at that speed or less. So every single state uses 85th percentile. There are several states that also use the 10-mile-per-hour pace in the speed runs, and the thought process is that the more data you have and the better, and the more ways you look at it, the more accurate your prevailing speed is as a starting point. Where the new IDOT methodology really shines above and beyond everyone else is in these adjustments here.
I'm sorry. Could you explain the 10-mile-an-hour pace on the speed limit? Sorry.
Sure. 10-mile-per-hour pace, if you can imagine a bell curve of all the data that we've collected, and you take a 10-mile-per-hour slice, you move it back and forth to the point where you have the most number of vehicles in there. That's graphically a good way of saying it. I think the explanation was it's the 10-mile-per-hour range where where the largest number of vehicles fall, and then you take the high end of that.
So when you looked at the 85th percentile, you superimpose the 10-mile-an-hour pace on it, that moves it up?
It's a straight average of those three. So you have the 85th percentile speed, you have the peak of the 10-mile-per-hour pace speed, and then you do speed runs where you have vehicles just run through traffic and you record their speeds and you average all three of those. Every state, as I said, every state uses 85th percentile. Depending on the state, they'll put more or less emphasis on it. We really think when you take a look at more than just that one measure, you're getting a more accurate idea of what the prevailing speed is out there. Yes, sir.
Jeff, are there any states that you've identified that rely solely on the 85th percentile?
For starting at prevailing speed, yes, but every state that we've identified still goes through adjustments, still goes through engineering analysis after that.
So the ones that do rely on it only as a starting point, and then they go on to these additional factors in
yes.
the view,
now,
so it's never the sole
correct.
Factor you've identified.
Correct.
Okay.
They're adjustment factors. They may have fewer of them, so it may put more emphasis on 85th percentile, but every single state that we found has a three-step process. They all mention that they do adjustments and they do engineering investigation or analysis. With the adjustment factors, then, where we did find a lot of states that published their methodology, it's generic to all roads in the state. So you have a very heavy arterial basis. number of driveway cuts and access points in it. Obviously not applicable to an interstate system. So the IDOT methodology that they adopted a little over a year ago really focuses exclusively on interstates. With the access points per mile, with the ADT, the crash rates, every single state mentions that you should take a look at crashes and see if that's an issue there. So those adjustment factors under the new IDOT methodology are relatively unique, and we feel very, very superior to what other agencies have done. Now, when you take, this is all mathematical still, so you have a number for prevailing speed, you apply some adjustment factors and you work it down a little bit according to issues that you have there, then you go through the engineering analysis. And again, this is more of a check of reasonableness. Are you using logical terminal points? How are you interfacing with the other interstates on either end of that? Design speed is a critical feature, so you can't set something above the design speed. So in the engineering analysis then, you're not seeing great swings. You're not suddenly going from a 70 mile per hour adjusted prevailing speed to a 55. But you will see some adjustments on tweaks on the limits. Basically, it's tweaks on limits. So that's the process. Are there any other questions on the process?
And are design speeds recalibrated after reconstruction?
Design speeds are the... Do you want to hang
on? The design speed is the speed that's set with the design that's currently in place.
Design speed is set before you design a road.
Yeah.
So you set the design speed, then you design to that speed. On our system, I've got a slide that shows it, but system, the tri-state in Cook County was designed at 60 miles an hour. The vast majority of the rest of the system was designed at 70 miles an hour.
And if we take the Jane Addams, for example, when we redid the Jane Addams, that design speed presumably is affected by the rebuilding?
There were a couple of curves on the Jane Addams that we had some concerns about, and those have been corrected so that truly the Jane Addams will be a design speed of 70 miles an hour over its entire length. That is correct. You can't always make adjustments. For example, one of the elements on the tri-state that's an issue is the Bensonville Bridge and the curves, the severe curves that occur there. Those do not meet a 70-mile-an-hour design speed criteria. To suggest that you completely replace and realign the tri-state and do away with the Bensonville Bridge would be a tall order. So, but that's the kind of comparison that you would look at, yes. Okay. So, based on the engineering analysis and all the work that's been done by CDM Smith, report came back to the Traffic Operations Safety Committee and recommended that certain adjustments be made to the system. This is just a map showing the system where really there were no adjustments made with the exception I mentioned earlier. We previously in 2010 studied, and then actually in 2011 once we went through the process, studied and raise the speed on the south end of 355 from 55 to 65. Okay. I mentioned earlier we increased speed limits in 2014. These were the increases that went to 70 miles an hour, again as part of the law, that allowed us to increase speeds, and we studied these segments and increased those. And what now is under consideration, and it doesn't go into each detailed segment, but essentially, if the board adopts our recommended increases and everything goes through, we will be making adjustments over the east-west hallway, basically from Route 47 or the Kane-Kendall line all the way in to the Eisenhower Terminus. 355 will be adjusted, and these adjustments will be to 65 in one area and 60 all the way into here. 355 would go from 55 to 60. The South Tri-State from Route 57 to I-55 would go from 55 to 60. The North Tri-State, we say from I-90, but it's actually from TUI. You want to get through the intersection. So from TUI north to Deerfield Road would go from 55 to 60, and the segment north of that would go from 55 to 65. Okay. Again, we're not recommending anything on the Jane Addams right now. We only completed construction on the west segment, west of Elgin, this last year. We need some operating data before we can do our engineering analysis, so that will be done sometime in September or later this year, and then a recommendation would be forthcoming to the board on the adjustments there. Right now, it's posted at 65 because that was the speed prior to construction. And then the eastern segment of that will be under construction for 2 years, so you won't see a recommendation on that for at least the next couple of years. And you'll note that there's no recommendation for a change on the central tri-state, again, due to numerous considerations, although that is part of the Move Illinois program. So once we move through that, that effort, we will have recommendations on that as well. So next steps. We're talking to the committee this morning. We're hopeful if the committee approves these recommendations that it would go to the full board this month. Procedurally, the tollway is then required to send their recommendations to IDOT for concurrence and to submit the paperwork to the Joint Commission on Administrative Rules, JCAR. If JCAR approves everything and IDOT approves our recommendation, then the tollway would submit the rule change to the Secretary of State for publication. And once all that is approved, we would proceed to adjust the speed limits and the signs and install some new signs in order to actually implement the new speed limit. We would estimate that if, in fact, the process goes relatively quickly, that would occur sometime in June or July of this summer. Any questions?
Are we required by law to submit to IDOT and JCAR?
Yes. The administrative rules that govern our activity require us to submit any recommendation for speed limit changes to IDOT. So it made sense for us to use the IDOT methodology, even though we thought it's the best methodology anyhow, since they will have to approve what we recommend.
So I asked the question whether by law we had to submit, and your answer was the JCAR rules say that we have to.
Maybe.
So, I think the technical right way to answer your question, which has actually got a couple of subparts. If the maximum prescribed limit in the vehicle code, which has now for all intents and purposes, and I'm talking about cars, passenger vehicles, is going to go to the maximum limit allowed, which is now 70. If the system-wide was just going to go to 70 across the board, there's at least an argument that tollway has the ability to do that alone. If there's any qualification over the course of the system that you're not just going to 70 everywhere, which no one has suggested, that absolutely requires IDOT concurrence and then the JCAR process by virtue of the Administrative Procedure Act in Illinois, that the tollway gets looped in through the Toll Highway Act that says when you do rules, regulations at the tollway, you do them under the Administrative Procedure Act. I think that's
okay, so the
technical
it's the
right.
JCAR law that actually dictates how the
tollway makes regulations and rules. We bring those down to Springfield for approval, correct?
Thank you, David. I could never have.
All right, yes. John, when you and I think it may have been Jeff when you were up there said this, when you were doing the system evaluations based on the change in the law that was passed,
yes.
You didn't take a look at any of the areas that had been increased in January of 2014, all that had been moved out to 70 on the western portions, right?
Those had already previously been studied, and so we had raised those up to the maximum allowable limit, and there was no point going back and restudying them. We do evaluate their performance.
Okay, and that's what I was going to get to. And I'm assuming you do that under TOS?
Yes. The TOS committee, in fact, it's a good example. When we increased the limit on the south leg of 355, a year later, we asked CDM Smith to perform a one-year review of whether that was a successful increase or not, or whether there were issues that we need to be concerned about. There was a concern at the time that if we raised the speed limit from 55 to 65, the traffic would be traveling 75. What we found over the year is that traffic only increased by 2.9 miles per hour on the average for cars. There was a slight increase in the numbers of crashes, but not significantly to affect crash rates. So we feel very confident that the 65 mile an hour speed limit, based on a 1 year review of its performance, was a good move. We would do the same thing with the other changes.
Could I just ask a factual question? It increased 2 point something miles an hour. Did that mean that people were already going 63 and they were now going 65, or they were, what?
No, the average speed actually was a little bit more than 65 miles an hour.
Oh.
But
under the old posting?
Under the old posting, I don't remember, recall what the average is. I don't want to guess, but when you took the original average speed
uh-huh.
and then the new average, the increase was only 2.9 miles per hour. So in reality, originally under a 55 mile an hour speed limit, they were really traveling too fast.
Right. So there was a...
And now they're only traveling a little bit faster than the speed limit. So that's what you want to do, is you want to have the speed limit. That's where that 85th percentile okay. and the pace and all that come into play.
Okay. Sorry.
And so are we, as we now have approached the one-year mark of having the 70 mile an hour on those western, the two western legs, mm-hmm. are we engaging in a similar process to take a look at that performance?
Because of the traffic volumes on I-88, we haven't commissioned a formal detailed study, but we think that TOSP, normal monthly review of performance out there, seems to indicate that 70 is fine. We're also trying to work within budget, so we haven't done, you know, we haven't gone out and done some speed stuff out on 88. We have looked and watched the Rockford area up there to see if that is performing well, and everything up there seems good as well. So
when you did the 1 year review before, you said that gone up 2 point
yes.
whatever miles, but there had been a slight increase in accident rate. Did I hear that?
The number, when you do the posterior review, you look at the crashes relative to what the rates are, and we use the national interstate rate and the state rate, and we actually were a couple of crashes above what that average was, which statistically is relatively insignificant, so it looked good. There were no major increase in crashes is the point.
We have in the appendix slides 16 and 17, they are complicated looking, but it does give what we are recommending the speed limit be, right, for cars and buses and
that's
for
correct.
Trucks. So I would say that one of the advocates who we've heard from before on this, Senator Oberweis, we have been in communication with him. He believes that the law would mandate that we have 70 miles an hour everywhere on the tollway system, so I wanted to make you all aware of that. You know, these are the recommendations from our traffic engineer and engineering at this point as to what we think is the safest approach.
John?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So when you were going to decide, one of the factors you talked about was design speeds.
Yes.
So it's, hey, we're going to build a road. How fast do we want to go? So when you're designing a road with the understanding that you want it to, the design speed to be 70, can you explain to me briefly just the 10-cent version of you know, what are the factors to go into that impact that?
I'll talk.
Paul, if you would do that since you're the chief engineer.
Well, John, I really want to do it. No,
John knows it. I know he does. But it is based on the physical geometric conditions. So we're looking at both the curvature on the hills, and we're also looking at the curvature horizontally. And the simple explanation is it's very prescriptive on this is the height of the driver's eye, this is the curvature that they can see over, and this is the speed you're traveling, this is how long it takes to stop your vehicle. If you were to come upon something completely stopped in front of you and you couldn't see it, so as soon as you can see it, it measures how long it takes you to stop, you know, before you run into the back of them. And that's really the basic explanation of it. It is based on geometry, and it's completely spelled out in all the manuals and guidelines, so there isn't a lot of flexibility on that.
And does that also impact the number of ramps on and off, ingress, egress, that there would be? I mean, at faster speeds, there's less access, or is that not significant? Or at least not significant when at these speeds?
That's less a factor of design speed, but that is covered in the IDOT methodology for setting speed limits, and that's one of the criteria that you use on an interstate is you look at the points of entrance and exit or access points. So an entrance to an oasis would count, and you have to add those up within, and you're basically looking at the concentration of those and the spacing of those. And that could result in a reduction of points in terms of application of speed limit.
So that portion of the tri-state that was within Cook County was in 1958, that's the way it was designed, for 60 miles an hour. That's the way we believe it's always been posted, at 60 miles per hour, I mean, or less. And it could be changed to 70. It would take a significant investment on behalf of the tollway to modify these geometric constraints.
So when you say it could be changed to 70, you're talking about the design, the physical structure of design could be a change, but that would be...
It's still just one component that's considered in evaluating what is the, you know, the safest and most efficient speed that we should post out there as the maximum.
Yeah, this is the design speed map here that it shows. The yellow or yellow-green is design speed of 60. There's one small segment of 88 where the design speed is also 60, but the rest of the system is designed around 70.
You could redesign it, though, to accommodate higher speeds, though, right?
From a design purely design geometric perspective, yes, we could modify the curves and rebuild the road. We would require additional right-of-way. I can guarantee you that would be the case, and I think the big issue on the tri-state is it's completely urbanized. You know, there would be a lot of impacts outside the roadway if we do it.
It'd be expensive, though, wouldn't it?
It would be cost prohibitive. It's not included in the Move Illinois programs. Something I could say.
I guess then I David, arms. Can you just...
First time I heard him say cost prohibitive.
Mike and I were on the same side.
Dave, can you just address the issue that Christy raised about your understanding of the legal requirements versus what she got when she was talking with the senator at the senator's office?
Sure. You know, I think what we are counseling the agency to do is exactly what we're doing. We are responding to an increase in the maximum speed allowed on toll highways, and that is the most recent change that the last piece of legislation did, because there was some ambiguity, our tollways in or out, there was this urban district definition. So that's been excised, and now clearly the 70 mile per hour maximum applies in the tollway system, subject to traffic engineering studies suggesting that another lower speed on particular segments is more appropriate. Safe and efficient, I think safe and reasonable is the phrase they use in the law. And where those things are determined on the basis of engineering studies, then you do drop into a concurrence process with IDOT, publication and administrative rules through JCAR, and then once those hurdles are jumped through, you make your increases.
So it's the, would you say, safe and reasonable?
Safe and reasonable is the
where this additional analysis comes in.
That's correct. And has always been the case, you know, within the tollway system, as John will attest to, with more history than me, John, right?
A little bit.
So let me try it one more, based on what Director Reddick has asked. So slide 13 suggests that the design speed is 70 on a lot of this, but we're not recommending that we go to 70 using the IDOT methodology. So the factors just would be what? That are the mitigating factors about why this all wouldn't go to 70.
It's all those adjustment factors that were described, you know, by the traffic engineer. So it's crashes, it's volume of traffic on that portion of the roadway, it's number of access points where we have people merging in and out of traffic, it's congestion, it's the IDOT. Well, the reason why we consider the IDOT methodology to be the best practice is it's very prescriptive on this. These are the reductions you will take if you meet these certain requirements or criteria. So it kind of directs you on how to make the adjustments. And
the first two elements in the IDOT methodology are very objective. There are measurements taken in order to achieve these. There is data and break off points where the NIDOT says, if you meet this, you drop five. You meet this, you do this. And so everything on this side, the first two steps, is all very objective. In the last part, the engineering analysis, is where you then take a look and say, well, what are the logical links? Like, for example, the south end of 355. The interstate that it connects to on the north is Interstate 55, and that's 55 miles an hour. Interstate 80 on the south end at its terminus is 65 miles an hour. You look at that, it's a 12-mile segment. You wouldn't make it 70 miles an hour for 12 miles in between a 55 and a 65-mile-an-hour zone. So that's the reasonableness check that comes in here. Plus, design speed is a factor as well.
So when you say, just giving that example, when you say you wouldn't make it 70 between a 55 and 65, that's really a judgment about passenger behavior and safety, right?
It's a question of communicating to the motorist different conditions over short periods of time. Another example would be the north end of the tri-state up in the I-94 portion. North of Grand Avenue from Stern School Road, our speed study shows we can go to 70. Wisconsin is still a 65-mile-an-hour zone. It's only a 7-mile segment. It doesn't make sense to raise it to 70 and drop it back down to 65 before you get into Wisconsin. And that's the kind of thing that you would do in addition to factoring in design speed. And another example would be operational concerns. Up by Great America, we have issues with huge traffic volume getting on and off our system, mostly getting off. That's an operational concern that factors into that as well.
Yeah, I guess all I'm doing is trying to get beneath that. Thinking about it from a non-engineering fiduciary responsibility as a toll highway authority member, the reason that you make the decisions like you wouldn't want to go from a 55 to a 70 and then back to a 65 is because it's really about safety of the people who are driving that. It's not because you don't think it makes sense or rational in the sense that 65, 70, and 55 are not the same numbers, but it's about how people will drive going from one of those speeds to the other, right?
That is a concern, yes.
Okay. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to get to is you can say all these things are objective and you can say that those you are exercising judgment on the blue ones, but the judgment is based on something. Why are you making the decisions you're making? And I think what I'm hearing you say is the reason you're doing that is because we want to make sure that everybody's safe. So if there are a lot of cars coming on and off, we take that into account because we know from history that you get unsafe conditions and you get more accidents when that happens. If it's only a 7-mile segment, and we know if we leave the speed limits at the higher level there or put them at a higher level there, when people get on the next road, they're going to be driving at the higher levels, and that's unsafe. I guess I'm just trying to peel it back from a layperson's point of view. This is lovely. I believe all of this, but when I have to exercise a judgment, or I think when any of us has to exercise a judgment as a member of the board, what we have to be thinking about is, why is this important?
Yeah, I did not want to imply that on the blue category it's all discretionary. Obviously, design speed is a very serious consideration, and you would not want to make the speed limit above the design speed.
But that's also based on safety, right?
That is correct, yes.
Based on what Paul just explained to us, it's the curvature of the road, it's the horizontal curvature. So that really is about if there's something stopped in the middle of the road ahead of you, it's just plain unsafe.
So okay. I'm a chief engineer. I do have a professional engineering license. The very first thing that I'm committed to is I have to put forward recommendations and decisions based on what I think is in the best interest of public life, health, and safety. It's in the first line of my licensure requirements. So I know, and the same is true of the traffic engineer. They're a licensed professional engineering firm in this state. They are obligated to the same standard, or they lose their license. So
I just didn't want to lose track of
right. That's
really the value that's running through all of these decisions. Right?
It is. And we follow the very, what we feel is best practice for the country. And I've got recommendations from the general engineering consultant and the traffic engineer on this. Plus, we have our operation folks who have been monitoring the system as long as they've been here, as long as we've had one. And I think and I know that the recommendations that we're proposing now, they're increases in the speed limits. We're fully comfortable with that. We think those are going to be in the best interest of the public's, you know, life, safety, and health. So we have no reservations about making those recommendations. At this point in time, we do not feel it would be appropriate, you know, to go above those.
Thank you.
And just, I mean, everything that you're saying, Paul, is consistent with the law that was passed, because the 70% sets a ceiling, or 70 miles per hour, I'm sorry, sets a ceiling. It sets a ceiling where it's safe and reasonable to do that.
Yeah, but if an alternative speed maximum is deemed safe and reasonable, then the authority has the ability to come down from the 70.
And that's where
after we go through the administrative hoops we talked about.
And that's worth this enough. Okay. All right. Any other questions?
I guess I have one more question about the design speed. Let's take your example by Great America. The design speed may be
It's 70 up there.
Right? Yeah.
That's correct.
So does that mean that when the design speed was established, that it wasn't anticipated that there would be the kinds of traffic coming on and off that we now find that there is?
The design speed provided good geometrics for the road, so there's absolutely nothing wrong with the road and the motorist's ability to see around curves or hills.
Right.
What happened there is a regional amusement park developed on the corner of Grand Avenue, and now we have a water park on the other corner, and we have a regional discount mall that is a huge traffic generator. And on top of all that, there's significant residential development further to the west. So we have recurrent congestion when the amusement park is open prior to their start time. Okay, we have problems with the loop ramp that takes traffic west on Grand Avenue when there are special activities going on at the discount mall and in the evening during evening rush hour. Now, we are making some physical improvements to that interchange. That will mitigate some of the concern over queues coming off of the ramp. Mm-hmm. And we have a queue warning system that alerts traffic that the ramps are backed up ahead, watch your speed, reduce your speed, or take an alternate route if you're going to the amusement park. So we do take measures to mitigate those kind of things, but the problems at Grand Avenue have absolutely nothing to do with design speed, have everything to do with the volume of traffic that gets off our system at that location.
So, and I think it's an important decision that's made by the people who are, you know, going to implement the roadway.
Right.
And it will be an important decision on any future road that the tollway considers to build. What do you want to design it to? What do you foresee the use of this road in the future?
So when people would say, all you really need is the 85th percentile, just using that example, you would say, let's move over two blocks, you know, two little arrows or whatever those are to the right, and look at access points. Right? Because it may be true that at 2 in the morning, the 85th percentile could be 70 miles an hour. But during rush hour in the summer when people are going to the water park and the amusement park, the access points create the conditions where, I guess, congestion also, those two have to be taken into account, because we can't say it's 70 miles an hour except when the amusement park's open, the water park is open, the shopping mall is open, and it's rush hour.
We run 85th percentile speeds during off-peak, yes, under free-flow conditions.
Uh-huh.
And so the 85th percentile measure is the ideal. That's your starting point. And then you factor in the 10-mile pace, and then you run the vehicles to make sure that the data. Now, theoretically, all those measures should be relatively close to each other.
Uh-huh.
But that's how you get your best prevailing speed to begin your analysis. And then you take a look at these. In the case of Great America and Grand Avenue, there are ramp queue issues. And so there's a way to quantify that in the IDOT methodology, and that factor then gets placed against the prevailing speed and determining what is the safest and appropriate speed. So,
okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry to make this so ponderous. I just need to understand.
That's important, though, because the 85th percentile, by definition, is perfect conditions. No congestion.
Mm-hmm.
Off peak. That's why, logically, it makes sense to me. You could make adjustments, and you would make adjustments.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's the basis of our recommendations.
Now. Okay, thank you. So that's why no state uses, as far as we know, just the straight 85 percentile.
I don't think an engineer would say, just go out and do this and put a rubber stamp.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. I'm sorry.
No, thank you. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
This is your part, sorry.
Oh, no. I think if there aren't any more questions on this, we can move on to the next presentation. Should we start with, go back to sustainability first? That's probably the shortest.
I'm sorry, just a question for clarification. So at some point, we would make a recommendation.
Later in the agenda, we'll be taking a vote
on
this. Then we would assume that it goes to the board, assuming that it's approved.
Okay.
It goes to the board, who then would take a vote on it in 2 weeks' time, the board meeting. And then, depending on the outcome, obviously, of that vote, but assuming that it's approved, then it would go through the process as we've outlined in the presentation. So, sustainability policy, as those of you who were here for the meeting may know, we did have, I think, some good discussion about creating a sustainability policy for the tollway. We already have, we think, some strong green and sustainable practices when it comes to the construction program, and I think really are a leader in that area. This policy was designed not only to focus, though, on construction, but to at least provide a broad framework for also the tollways operations themselves, and I think we've managed to balance in the policy, all of those components. Again, this is kind of the broad statement at this point. I know you've all had a chance to review it. We would expect to come up with an actual plan as a result. That would have some more tangible and specific action items. So, Brian, I'll turn it over to you.
All right.
This is Brian Wagner.
Yeah. Thanks again for the opportunity to be up here. Appreciate it. So, as Christy pointed out, at our last committee meeting, we discussed the need for a policy and kind of what it would entail, and also the development of a sustainability plan. We put a draft policy out for public comment, and for 21 days, we received 6 comments from the public. US EPA provided comments, Morton Arboretum, Friends of Cook County Forest Preserve, Forest Preserve District of DuPage County, North Central College, and then one of our consulting engineers provided some editorial comments as well. By and large, everybody was in support of the policy. They embraced that it was going to develop a sustainability plan. Some of the recommendations were to focus, recommendations within the comments were to focus on vehicle emissions and efficiencies of our system. Also, additionally,